Hello, and welcome to Saving People, Queering Things, the Supernatural podcast where Dean says the phrase gender bend, but it's not as fun as it could be. Today, we are pulling up to Season 6, Episode 13, Unforgiven. I'm your host, August. My pronouns are they, them.
I'm Elena. Pronouns are she, they.
And I'm KJ. And my pronouns are also she, they.
Welcome back, KJ.
Hi, it's so good to be back.
I love a KJ episode. KJ is the best.
You're here so often now that I forget, and you've become such a staple on the podcast that I forget that, like, you're technically a guest host. And so I need to be like, right, and a returning guest. Anyway, this is KJ from Supernatural Opinions. And also
and
from
our returning bestie.
I don't think I've been here for a minute. Like, I've only been on Saving Throws. I don't think I've been actually here for a real episode of
We recorded like so long ago with the 6 month strike. Like, the it's
insert
really
audio clip of it's been a while here.
This is the first time I'm here. This is like more than halfway through the season.
Well, you picked quite an episode to come on for.
Yes, that's true.
You're gonna be here a couple of times between now and the end of the season, so we'll get lots of
Listen, more KJ is my favorite kind of KJ.
Honestly, I just keep inviting y'all onto my show as well, just to hang out.
I know, I feel like I've been on like a couple of your shows episodes recently.
You've been on a lot lately. You need to come back, Elena.
Yeah.
We'll get you on another one. Season 5's right around the corner.
Yes. If you're not listening to KJ's show, Supernatural Opinions, you absolutely should be. I think at the time of this episode releasing, you will be releasing season four?
I think you'll still be releasing season four. Yeah.
So if you want more Supernatural content.
I keep forgetting that we're in the middle of season six because I keep thinking we're on season three. And then I'm like, how did we get here? Where is time?
Yeah. Yeah. This is pushing us past like just about at the this is really pushing us to the halfway point of season six.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you're listening to this episode the week that is released, I am actually on Supernatural Opinions for a special Riverdale-themed episode this week, so you should definitely go over and listen to that if you're at all interested in Riverdale, or if you know nothing about Riverdale.
Yeah, we'll still have a good time, I promise.
Yeah, I feel like that would be the more fun, because I don't know anything about Riverdale except that it is, like, unhinged CW nonsense, so...
Meredith guess as many things as she could guess happen, and then I made her watch the first and last episode and try to guess things that happened in the middle.
Yeah, see, I would be totally game to do one of those, like, you read me, like, things that actually happened and then, like, one thing that didn't, and I try to guess which ones. Like, that would be fun.
On Riverdale, that's a challenging game. On Supernatural, that's also a challenging game.
Yeah.
I would say Riverdale is more challenging.
Oh, Riverdale absolutely more challenging, because Riverdale, like, Supernatural genre bends, but Riverdale, like, genre bends.
Yeah, it's they leaned into the cuckoo banana, so it paid off.
They really did. Well, my question for you two today is, do you have a favorite flashback moment or scene, whether in Supernatural or another piece of media, considering this episode features a lot of like a flashback kind of moments? Do you like flashback stuff in TV?
Oh, yeah. I wish you hadn't broadened it to everything, because now my brain is trying to think of everything.
Okay, well, I'll narrow it then again. What's your favorite one Supernatural? Like, so far. Let's not spoiler anything.
The first one that jumped into my brain is the Christmas flashback of Sam giving him the necklace. I just think that moment is so wholesome, and I love how in the show, the way that they cut it, like, he puts it on, and then the next shot is, like, on the necklace of, like, adult Dean walking into the room. It just, I get teary-eyed every time.
Good editing, too.
I am a big flashback fan. I think it's a really good way to add some depth to your characters. I can't really go wrong with the Christmas one, but I'm gonna go with the OG, Something Wicked.
Yeah.
The original Supernatural flashback episode.
Gotta
probably
love it.
In this early seasons.
I was also thinking about that one, partly because it's kind of got a similar color grading to what they do in this episode. This episode, they do a bit more fully black and white, but that episode, they also color grade some of the flashback stuff in that kind of sepia, desaturized.
If I could open this back up a minute to other media,
please do.
The episode of Bones, where we find out about the first case that Bones and Booth worked, that like ruins Sweet's whole book and like their whole origin story. That's it.
Good choice.
What do you mean that the slow bird that we've been waiting 5 seasons to get together kissed before we ever even met them. That's not a thing.
Well, that's it. Those are great answers. And if you're listening, let us know. What's your favorite flashback scene in Supernatural and or in another piece of media?
If you don't like flashbacks, I'd also be interested to hear that. If you like really don't like them at all.
or if you have like a favorite flashback and like a least favorite flashback, because I have definitely have some of those.
Yeah, especially, like Good Omens is full of good flashbacks.
Oh, Good Omens is like built upon the premise of like having flashbacks.
Yeah, like I really enjoy the concept of like, you get these characters and they have like thousands of years of history, and just throughout the show you just keep catching glimpses of how they became who they are. Like, it's a really cool structure for a show.
Yeah.
Oh, I just realized I have a least favorite Supernatural flashback. I'd be really vague, so it's spoilery. Sam season 8. Just any Sam flashback.
So with you, KJ. I love that we know.
That is a bad flash. That's a bad flashback. We'll
It's not even the content. It's the way that like inevitably you see the flashback coming from 3 miles away by Sam's face doing nothing.
By Sam's face doing that, I'm gonna have a flashback.
Yeah.
And you know, like we go back and forth on Jared's acting in this podcast. And I've had a lot of like good things to say about Soulless Jared's playing of Soulless Sam versus like Sam with a soul. But yeah, that season 8 moment is not great. But that's not where we are now. Where we are now is the part of the show where we catch you up. So if you haven't watched Supernatural recently, here is what you've missed on the road so far. Elena, you're up to recap the show. Are you ready?
No, I feel like I did this so recently and now I'm scared.
That just means you've had practice recently.
I don't do them because I am always 1 to 3 seasons behind.
we were gracious to you.
I'm gonna try to blaze through as much of the early seasons as I can in short order. I'm being attacked. Excuse me.
Bean, what are you doing? I see the little paw.
She's in a playful mood right now. She just wants to swat.
Kirk learned. Anyway. Kirk decided that she knew how to play fetch this week.
She'll bring
her toy. Three days ago, she brought a toy to me and she had it nearby me. And so I picked it up and threw it for her. It's her favorite toy, the little spring. And then she ran and played with it. And then she brought it back to me. And I was like, okay, this seems like a fluke. And so I threw it again. And she did it like 4 or 5 times. And I was like, are we playing fetch? Is that what we're doing right now?
That is 100% what she was doing.
And then I was like, okay, is this a weird fluke? She didn't do it the next day. I tried to get her to do it. She didn't do it. But then now, 2 days in a row, again, she's done it. So now I think it's just...
She knows how to play fetch. That is 100% confirmed. I think
she just knows how to play fetch.
One of my favorite like videos that Jay ever did for social media was one of his dog back when he had her. And he made her she actually did fetch. And he posted it and it was the cutest little video. And he's just like, guys, we made fetch happen.
I had a black lab. I had many black labs, but in particular I had a black lab while I was in high school. And I'm very familiar with the game of fetch.
Chihuahua because I need you to have like a chihuahua in your purse because it gives Supreme Courtney vibes.
It is not 100% certain, but it's looking really good.
Yeah. See, I'm used to dogs playing fetch. I'm like, yeah,
that makes sense.
Dogs play fetch. When a cat plays fetch, I'm like, there's something about that. That's just
She's a little smarty pants.
Yeah. When you're ready, I will count you in.
Go ahead.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Sam and Dean are brothers and they hunt monsters and their dad dies and then they all die because Dean dies in season 3 and Sam dies in season 2, but then everybody gets brought back and then there's a gay angel that shows up and then they have to deal with an apocalypse and then one of them sleeps with an angel, one of them sleeps with, a demon, and it's all very heaven and helly. And then they stop the apocalypse and Sam goes to hell and it's awful, and then he comes back and he's like, I don't have a soul, I suck. And then Dean is like, but you need to have a soul. And so they shove it down his gullet and now he has a soul again and they're on a weird case.
Wow.
10 out of 10 recap. You made it very relevant to exactly this moment that we are in.
I wanted to spend a decent chunk of time on season 6.
I think that was a good choice.
Yeah, I don't want to like mess up the audio, but like Noah, like throw a slow clap in there for me.
KJ is now going to recap this episode.
Ooh.
Let me know when you're ready.
I think I'm ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Sam and Dean break the cardinal rule of saying things are quiet, and they're punished for it immediately. They head to Bristol, Rhode Island, on behest of a mystery test that Amnesiac Sam can't trace, where it turns out that Sam and Samuel worked a case the previous year, and so Sam took a healthy sampling of the local brunettes. Sam and Samuel sacrificed the local sheriff to get their spider nightmare monster and didn't realize he was turned, and is now specifically out to get the people that Sam slept with, and they have to deal with that situation. I have 4 seconds left.
And so the wall's broken.
Way too fast. Oh, I forgot about the wall.
That just means you're a pro.
The only thing you're missing is the wall. Is that the wall?
About that wall thing. I just did not realize that was the very first time that had happened.
It's all good. But... we are. All right, that brings us to our episode mixtape. It's time to pick us some music to accompany us on our journey this episode, and here is what we have this week. Elena, what do you have for the episode mixing this week? Sorry, honey. I just bopped her in the head because she came up behind me. Hi, sorry.
So my pick for this week, for pretty obvious reasons when I say the title, is Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds.
Great just choice.
I just decided to be very on the nose because that's a song that I very much enjoy, I liked how it has the lyric as well, like, tell me your troubles and doubts, giving me everything inside and out. Like, Sam is dealing with so many internal and external struggles in this episode that it just, along with, you know, having a title about not forgetting someone, it just seemed like it fit.
Hi,
honey. Hi, honey. Hi, love.
By Simple Minds 3.
Yeah, it's because Kirk is committed to standing on the keyboard.
I love the commitment to the bit, Kirk, but you gotta not.
My cat loves to walk on the keyboard. She knows she didn't turn the Zoom call off. She didn't stop recording.
Oh, good thing.
So we're good. We're good. KJ, what about you?
Oh, man, I'm so excited for this pick, and I think you're going to be excited.
I love when people don't put their pick in the documents so that they can reveal it.
But yeah, I wanted to
reveal. The right choice.
I'm picking an acoustic cover of a Taylor Swift song.
Oh, yes, you are.
By Jonah Baker, who does incredible covers of a lot of people, but specifically Taylor Swift, like, has done multiple Taylor Swift covers, and they're all incredible.
Okay.
Ooh. And this is a song I often associate with Sam Winchester, especially when he's forced to reckon with some of his more harsh aspects or actions. And that song is Antihero.
No!
I love it.
It just really has always felt like a Sam song to me, like, from the second I heard it, but specifically the lyric, did you hear my covert narcissism? I disguise as altruism, like some kind of congressman.
That is such Sam-coded lyrics. Such Sam-coded lyrics.
Yeah. I don't know how I didn't make that connection before. Probably because the one that I watched, like, the video I watched was like a Dean edit.
I also think that song works really, really well for Dean. Oh, but that lyric works so well for Sam.
Specifically that. And also it's the same like verse as like Too Big to Hang Out, Slowly Lurching Towards Your Favorite City. And like all of it's good. All of it's good. Taylor Swift is
Chef's Kiss.
Just yeah.
No, Jonah Baker. I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah. His covers are so gorgeous. Like so gorgeous.
Love a good acoustic cover. I was waffling between two song choices today, but I think the one I'm going to go with is The Boy Who Blocked His Own Shot by Brand New. It's a song I've had in my Sam playlist for a while to use.
So glad I'm not the only one who went to their Sam playlist and scrolled till they found an appropriate song.
I went to both my Sam playlist and also your Sam playlist.
So, I am honored.
Because they were the two playlists that come up when I search on my Spotify, Sam. They're the two playlists that come up.
So sorry to report, I do not have a Sam playlist.
You can borrow mine if you ever need it.
We both have good ones.
Yeah.
Mine's called Sam Shine, and it's my favorite thing.
It's a good playlist. It's a good playlist. I appreciate yours because yours, I think, is more well-rounded because you're a Sam stan. So I think you have, like, the more well-rounded Sam playlist, and I don't have a Dean specific playlist.
Yeah, and it's not because I don't like Dean, but it's because it's really hard for me to like differentiate the two in my brain.
Totally fair. I have a really, really extensive Dean playlist that I'm very proud of. That one
I would expect that.
Curated. anyway, this song, The Boy Who Blocked His Own Shot, has lyrics like, I hope you find out what you want. I already know who I am.
Ooh.
I'll grow old, start acting my age. be a brand new day in a life that you hate. It just kind of got the right like sense of like regret and self agony that Sam is going through.
Not like line about like heart that's harder than stone. Mm-hmm. Like yeah, he's soulless. It, like that's really just who he's behaving as.
Yeah. And it's got the chorus goes, call me a safe bet. I'm betting I'm not. I'm glad that you can forgive. Only hoping as time goes, you can forget, which was the kind of thing that sealed this episode in that concept of forgetting. It's a beautiful song.
That's really good.
I love Brand New. They have a lot of really supernatural coded sort of songs. I've used them before. I will use them again, but that's my pick today. Love that.
Love it.
All right, we've got our mixtape playing, so it is time for this week's hunt. And today we are exploring season 6, episode 13, Unforgiven, through the theme of rumors. Some content that may come up in this episode are topics of kidnapping, there's some gender-based violence-ish.
Some cheating storylines.
Yes, there's, and of course, like, hell trauma. That's just sort of a consistent one this season, but it will come up specifically at the end of this episode. As always, listen at your own discretion and with caution, and we will treat these topics, these sensitive topics, with the as much care as we are able to. All right, where do you want to start with this episode?
I am going to start off by not being totally on topic, but
that's fine.
Vaguely on topic. 6 months after this episode comes out-ish, approximately, we're going to have an episode where we defend everything that Sam Winchester has ever done. And we basically just wrote off this whole arc. And then watching back this episode, I was like, oh, man. We basically just excused anything Soulless Sam did. We're like, he wasn't himself. It doesn't count. But he's pretty bad things.
Yeah. This episode,
I felt vaguely bad about our just writing off at all Soulless Sam.
He just gets a pass because he was soulless. Yeah. And I'm like, well,
Our Sam would never do that.
But also Sam very much does do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
sort of the whole crux of the episode.
He's like, let me make this perfectly clear. Like, I did these things. Like, yeah. This was me that carried out these acts.
And I had very much thought about the women aspect, like the cheating aspect, but I hadn't kind of forgotten about the straight up murder Sam tries to do unsuccessfully in this episode.
Yeah, the willingness, I think the thing that got me was like the willingness to just use someone for the sake of a hunt.
Literally like, let someone die, like on purpose.
And to just let someone be bait, and that your backup plan was not a backup plan to protect them, but was a backup plan to just sort of shamelessly use them, and the lack of shame there. And obviously, like, Sam now with a soul has so much shame, like, has an overabundance of, like, unhelpful guilt and shame about this. Yeah. And it isn't really his fault, but also, like, yikes, Sam without a soul, yikes.
Yeah.
This is one of those episodes that every time I go to do my rewatch, I entirely forget, like, what it is and what happens in it until I watch through it. And I'm like, oh, that's why I forget this, because it's just, I really am not, like, that's one of my least favorite arcs in all of Supernatural is Soulless Sam. And so this episode is just so heavy on that, like, it's one that if, you know, by the time we get to our end of, you know, season 6 recap, this will probably be one of the episodes where I'm like, yeah, I could have skipped that.
This will be in your low moment for the season.
It's sad that Sam is such a douche nozzle. Like, and the line that really gets me is when he's with Samuel and he like punches the guy, and then he just goes, do we care? Like,
that's like the epitome of Soulless Sam, I think, is just like the inability. And we talked about this a couple times already, like before we had the reveal, we talked with Noah a bunch about like the thing that is off about Sam is that he doesn't seem to care. And that's what's the most disturbing, is like Sam, one of Sam's primary personality traits is that care. And that contrasts
it. But I will give it to Jared. He really does act his butt off this season in terms of giving us like a very physically different performance as Soulless Sam than when he's actual Sam.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I feel like I didn't realize like a lot of the like Samisms and quirks until like once they're gone, I'm like, wait a minute, no, you're supposed to care and be really sweet and tender and nice and just floofy. And
he's lot more like soft, I would say, kind of movement.
Yeah. I feel like Sam's always like been so tall. like he's always trying to like make his body like less intimidating to people, like when they're talking to them, and like Solar Sam does not give a fuck. Solar Sam doesn't do that.
That's a really good analysis of his. Yeah, he doesn't. And Solar Sam is very strategic about using his physical presence to get what he wants or needs.
Describe their relationship as athletic. Like, dear God.
For that scene that Lane was talking about where Sam punches at the sheriff, the thing that I noticed is that Sam and Samuel get in the car and they leave that cop unconscious on the middle of the road. Like, they don't even pull him off of the road. Like, anybody could come along and just hit his body, like, while he's unconscious.
He should not be alive. He should be dead.
Yeah.
Like, they basically left him for dead by leaving him in the middle of the road unconscious.
I was like, okay, you knocked that guy out, but you didn't leave. You didn't want to bring that guy off to the side of the road so he doesn't get run over by the first person who comes over the hill too fast. Like,
okay, so this is going to bring me to something that one of the things I wanted to talk about with this episode, which is like, yes, Sam has some shit to deal with from the time he was soulless. But you know who I really want to hold responsible for a lot of Sam's actions? It's fucking Samuel Campbell. The man who's allowing this to continue, who just doesn't bat an eye. And like, as the person with a soul in this scenario, like, yes, he doesn't know Sam, but as the person with a soul,
responsible. And starts calling Sam out on doing crazy bullshit like this.
Like, and immediately Dean putting controls on him.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Dean is immediately like, something is wrong with you, so I'm going to be the moral compass until we figure out what the fuck is wrong with you. And so I'm not going to let you make decisions.
Samuel has a really fucked up moral compass to begin with.
Yeah.
Because he's got a soul and he's allowing this shit to go on.
Yeah. Samuel pisses me off, as is well documented. But this episode, I forgot that we have so much Samuel in this episode. I also forgot that
most Samuel that we have in the whole season. Like, it's a lot of Samuel. I also had a Samuel specific note, and I did preface it by saying I know that we don't love Samuel because I know how much August hates Samuel Campbell. But
well documented.
There is actually a moment in this episode where Samuel Campbell is taken a bit aback by Sam's like stone coldness. Like, he is like visibly disturbed. And like, I don't want to sympathize too much with Samuel Campbell, but like, do you think that there was a moment where he was like, my sweet baby girl gave birth to this monster? And then he met Dean, who is so much like Mary. Like, poor Samuel. Like, he wants a little bit of his child. Like, he lost his child, and what he has.
Yeah. That's a murderous lumberjack.
And in any other circumstance, Sam would want this connection so badly, and like this would go so differently between them. Like, this is just not good for either.
No, and I do feel like for Samuel, like, I don't expect Samuel to have the same effect on, or like take the same responsibility for Sam that Dean does. Like, Dean, when he gets back, he immediately takes a lot of responsibility.
Got him off the road.
Yeah, but at least like, I would expect more from Samuel than what we get. But I do understand like that. I think it's a certain point. He's a little scared of Sam, or at least a little bit like he knows Sam's capabilities as a hunter and his size, physicality, and like, I don't think, as much as Samuel is technically like the one in charge in the hunting relationship between the two of them, I don't think Samuel has or tries to have much control over Sam's like actual.
I agree. I bet you Samuel was so pissed when, like, for a year, Sam was like, don't bother Dean, don't bother Dean. And then he met Dean and he was exactly like Samuel's daughter. Like,
yeah. That must have been so jarring for him to be like,
Samuel is an absolute ass to Dean immediately, which, you know, tracks with him and Mary. Like, he's also an absolute ass to Mary. So, like,
yeah, I think because you love someone, Samuel doesn't mean you're not. Is a jerk to Mary, but I do also think he does genuinely love her. So,
he's one of those, like, obnoxiously complicated dad figures that Eric Kripke loves to shoehorn into things.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't as involved this season, like, it's still, that presence still felt.
Yeah. Well, okay, speaking of presences being felt, we get like a John reference.
I do not love that.
And like, we get the conversation really early on when they realize this is a case Sam has already worked on, and Dean says, you know, like, dad had rules about like not crapping in the same place twice.
We've heard these rules before, by the way.
but also we have heard about John's rules before, like, because it seemed like they were very arbitrary, and they were also very like whatever was most convenient for him to get his way, as like John to get
this
his way.
This is actually a sensible rule, I will say.
Yeah,
not it's a very John's smart defense, rule. But this rule makes sense.
Yes, this is
the wording is a little uncomfortable, but the premise is valid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they absolutely should have sent Bobby and Rufus in on this one. I don't know why they... Also, I don't know why they split up. They split up. Like, you have Sam, who does not remember what he did on this previous hunt. You know what Sam was like solo. You have had evidence of what Sam was like solo. Why would you split up during this hunt? Dean needs to stay with him because this whole, like, situation doesn't happen, doesn't play out the same way if Dean is with Sam. Because then when someone starts recognizing Sam, when the sheriff, like, the deputy recognizes Sam, Sam is not, like, by himself getting arrested. It's just make smarter choices. I just wanted them to make smarter choices. The choices that they acknowledged were options in this episode and then didn't. Yeah.
To actually stay on the topic of rumors.
Go for it. You're probably gonna say what I was gonna mention.
But it's like a little bit ironic because like soulless Sam would have immediately recognized the connection as soon as like the first like one or two bodies dropped in this town, but not cared, so probably wouldn't have done anything. Whereas Sam 2.0, Sam with a soul, whatever you want to call him, like, cares very deeply, but didn't remember anything to realize that this was a trap for him. Like,
yeah.
It Sam, just good doesn't. At pattern recognition, Sam.
He really is. He's just so thrown off right now.
Well, because even though he knows cognitively, like, a little bit of what he was like soulless, they haven't told him much because they're trying to not tell him.
Specifically not telling him anything. And I don't think that Dean got to... I mean, I guess Dean did a little bit see that Sam was a little bit girl crazy when he was soulless. But like
not enough to realize biblically.
Dean ever really saw much of that, and then I remembered clap your hands if you believe, and I was like, never mind.
No, he definitely knows that Sam without a soul is...
But I don't know if Sam does that, because I don't know if that would be a detail that Dean would have shared.
Well, again, because Dean is actually really actively trying to share no details.
No details. And I don't think that's a detail that Cass would have shared, so...
No, it's also not an important tell. Like, it's...
Yeah, not a detail Cass would have probably known about or bothered sharing, because it wouldn't be deemed important to him. So it
really puts them in this spot where no one has the information to predict this turn of events or to like recognize it before it comes.
This is one like very small thing, but I specifically was like, oh my gosh, like I feel like August is gonna mention this, but I don't see it in your notes. The red shirt comment.
Oh, did I miss I must have fucking missed that.
Yeah,
okay, back me up. Where did this like, red shirt Samuel, comment happen? I somehow missed that.
Says like, you know, like what, you know, what are we, like, you know, a red shirt or something, like he makes a Star Trek reference.
I love a good Star Trek reference. It annoys me that it's from Samuel, but you know what? It has to come from... It's coming in the family. It makes sense. Samuel, Mary,
they're all freaking nerds.
They're all freaking nerds. And, like, Dean had to get it. And you know, it means that Dean got the Star Trek references from, like, his mother's side of the family, which I appreciate.
I like that you're suggesting that it, like, Star Trek is, like, an inherited genetic trait. Like,
absolutely, I am suggesting that.
That's fantastic. But yeah, that was a pop culture reference that I particularly enjoyed. There's a few good ones in here.
What is this? Days of Our Lives? My partner and I...
Expect me to believe you have amnesia?
My partner and I are watching... My partner's never seen Friends. And so like, never seen it in its entirety, like, chronologically. And so we're watching Friends chronologically for the first time in, like, I haven't seen it chronologically.
There are some things in Friends that have not aged well, but I think overall it's still worth seeing all the way through at least once.
Exactly. It's, and like, that's a cultural thing.
It's like such a cultural touchstone.
Like, there's so many conversations we're having when seeing things in the show that have become sitcom staples. And I haven't watched it, like, concentratedly watched it in a number of years. So it's been really fun. But anyway, that's the Days of Our Lives reference. We're right in that arc right now with Joey's Days of Our Lives appearances, and it's very fun. And yeah, I like this reference. Fun one. They have a conversation, like, to switch this up again. They have a conversation with Samuel about, like, hunting with a family, which I think was really interesting. Yeah. And I want to hear what the two of you thought about that conversation. Because Samuel's kind of weird about it.
I think Samuel is kind of weird about it. And I am once again mad at John Winchester for handling it completely wrong. Because, like, we don't know a lot about the Campbells, but we know that they lived in Lawrence for at least a couple of years. They had their name on the freaking mailbox in that episode. Yeah.
seems like Mary at least had some semblance of like going to school and
like maybe teenager years around a lot, but it doesn't feel like to the extent of John moving them around. They lived in a house and not in a fucking motel. Like, it just feels like, you know, maybe they didn't know what to do, maybe it was hard, but it does seem like they kind of sort of figured it out.
They kind of had a little bit, and I feel like we've talked about this before, and I don't remember if we talked about it when we covered the flashback episodes with Samuel or if we talked about this on Wayward Parents when we were talking about Winchesters, but we talked about how like they almost do kind of have both worlds. Like, they get to have, they figure out a way to both be a hunting family and be part of like their community.
They have family dinners and Mary goes to school and she knows the local kids and
and she's, but she's still also like a hunter.
A hunter,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's and like, I don't want to give Samuel credit for very much, but like, he does a hell of a lot better than John does.
Yeah.
And it helps. Yes. I mean, that he has a
breakdown.
I think that's a balance Bobby could have struck. Like, I think Bobby, given the chance, could have raised the boys like that. Exactly. Well, I mean, like that.
Bobby does. Bobby stays in one place. Like, Bobby effectively does, just doesn't have any kids, but he stays in one place. He has involved in the community. And then, he raises two boys.
I have no feelings about that sentence. Not at all.
Soulless Sam, like, says family just slows you down in a line that I'm glad that Dean didn't have.
Regular Sam would never.
Regular
Sam's been a little harsh about family, like not thinking about family the way that Dean thinks about family, allegedly. I don't know how much I buy into that. I think that they're quibbling over very small things in those particular moments. I think it's a fine line, but insult Sam would never say that, just in general, let alone to Dean.
No, Sam has said multiple times, like, often talks about how family, like,
it's the only reason he's doing this. He wouldn't be doing this otherwise.
And also, like, family, yes, family is a liability in the sense that, like, family is a way that you can get hurt or a way that your family can get hurt. But that's, like, not the same thing as saying family slows you down. Like, soulless Sam is so focused on the hunt that he, like, doesn't care about anything else.
Yeah, that's the whole thing with the Enverse episode.
Yeah.
Like, Dean was like, let's just stay away from each other forever. And then, you know, immediately they were like, that's actually never gonna work. Never mind. That was a bad plan.
That would actually bring about like the worst apocalypse.
Yeah.
It actually makes us like
the
part
is the worst timeline.
Well, it's like really interesting because like I think Sam and Dean end up being each other's conscience so much of the time. Like they kind of keep each other in back.
Yeah, I think that they would really struggle when they're apart. I mean, case in point, soulless Sam. Like
Well, and even once Sam
has a soul.
Like before, like when they're back together before Sam has his soul. It's off because they're so used to like balancing each other out, and without Sam's soul they can't do that, so Dean's carrying all of the responsibility for like making decisions and the morality of their situation and like hunting and everything.
Back in season one that was a big thing that they did, like of like what's a monster, what's not a monster, like who are we to make this decision. Like that was a big part of their dynamic. And they're both correct and incorrect at certain times. Like they just have different ways of looking at things.
And that's sort of the like cool balance that the show strikes, is giving us both, having neither of them,
they kind of land on a code that the two of them follow of like, hey, if you haven't ever killed anybody, it doesn't matter what you are, like just don't kill anybody or else we'll be pissed about it. Like Andy or...
And now that Sam is back with a soul, they're kind of like having to like renegotiate that code a little bit.
Yeah, Sam's almost swinging a little too hard in the other direction now that he feels bad about all the things he did.
Yeah, and Sam is trying to, again, like this is so super... We've seen this with Sam before, like in the beginning of season 5, like Sam trying to atone for like what...
Yeah, he does kind of tend to do that.
And sometimes swinging really strongly to like...
He overcorrects.
And like they just feed into each other's guilt complexes, like always in the situation.
Dean, low-key Mel Gibson apologist in this episode.
I was not a fan of that
even
moment.
Back then, that was not like even back like, then that was
gonna
not.
Give anybody a pass, can it not be Mel Gibson? Like
even in 2010, like
I was like, because it was in the context of like Sam catching up on what he's missed over the last year and a half, and like like, you know, at that point we knew enough.
Yeah
we didn't need to do that.
Absolutely.
I did like the kind of aspect about this episode where, like, Sam doesn't remember being Solis, so he doesn't remember this case at all. And then the people who are in the town who know things that happened don't know that monsters exist. So they also don't know what happened. So it's all, like, bits and pieces. And, like, Sam and Dean are just, like, trying to piece together what Sam and Samuel did. I don't know where Samuel's at this point in the season, but, like, couldn't we have called Samuel and asked him?
I honestly think we should have called Samuel. We should have called
him. That's hilarious. I have not even considered that until just this moment.
Neither did Sam and Dean.
That would have alleviated, like, so many problems.
You have someone who would know everything that happened. And I know we're not talking to Samuel.
He was literally there.
I know we're not talking to Samuel because of the whole crowd. Like, I know this complicated Samuel, but, like...
But this feels like a time that we make an exception.
Yeah. Or yeah, we call, like, Bobby. Like, if we can't call Samuel,
call Bobby. Bobby to call
Samuel. Have Bobby call Samuel. Play with down the lane so that you don't have to deal with him, but you still get your answers.
Honestly, it didn't really occur to me until I was partway through that sentence. I was like, wait, couldn't they have just called him? And then I was like, wait, maybe I just don't remember where we last left off with Samuel. Maybe there's a reason we can't call him, but it seems like we could just pick up the phone.
Yeah, wouldn't have killed them.
No.
Actually, probably would have saved Sam's life. Possibly Sam's, because, like, now Sam has, like, done some damage to the wall. Like,
yeah,
the wall is in jeopardy.
Well, yeah, like, we're risking this whole episode, and Dean knows it. Like, Dean says it. He says, you know, like, every time you scratch that wall, like, you're playing Russian roulette. Like, we are just risking it every time we feed that information. Two other references that happen in this, and I am consulting with the Supernatural Wiki to kind of help me with not missing any references.
The Supernatural Wiki.
Sam and Samuel use aliases from Ayn Rand's novel, The Fountainhead, which is super interesting. Again, really indicative of the kind of way they think about hunting. If you don't know anything about Ayn Rand or The Fountainhead, they are based around the philosophy of objectivism, which is, like, highly, highly, highly individualistic, like, based around individual self-interest. Really interesting that, like, that's something
that's
that
they the use thing.
Characters from that novel as their, like, aliases.
That's a choice.
Yeah, a really interesting choice. The other thing that we did not mention when we were talking about Days of Our Lives is obviously Jensen Ackles connected Days of Our Lives. We did not explicitly mention that, but you should know that Jensen Ackles played on Days of Our Lives. I like when they...
Oh, wait, did not remember that was the specific show that he had been on. Yeah,
so it's fun that, you know, it's fun when another character plays that. Because they won't usually get Jensen's... Like, they usually don't get Dean to make those comments about Days of Our Lives, but they do like to have other characters reference it.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of Spider-Man references in this episode, too, which makes sense. We're dealing with, like, a
also, for I don't know about y'all, but for me, like, one of the most forgettable monsters that they ever made. Like,
so forgettable. Unfortunately,
which is a problem based on the conclusion of this episode, which basically implies there are at least 9 of these things out here.
Yeah.
Like, and they're just out in the world. I mean, season 6 is kind of like that. Like, there's, like, crazy monsters kind of everywhere throughout the whole season. But, like, boy, oh boy.
I'm loving this fact about the sign.
Yeah. Do you want to?
What is this?
Yeah. So when they ride into town and there's, like, the, you know, Bristol, Rhode Island, the sign says where memories are made, which is just fun.
Yeah. I've definitely seen that before and I just forgot about it and then didn't even connect it to this episode, but I've definitely seen
this. I didn't notice it until I was looking at this.
I've definitely seen this screenshot on, like, a Tumblr post or something before.
This is also the origin episode of the whole like Sam's cursed penis.
I would argue against that. I mean,
it's coined after this, but, like, it was coined before this, like, with, like,
two. I would say back in, like, season 1, that was pretty well
established. I think season 2 is really when it gets really solid, like, after Heart.
Sarah was, like, Sam was, like...
Yeah, but that's, like, two characters dying. Like, that's not great, but it's not, like, necessarily, like, a every single person. Once it happens 3 times, which is...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that this episode kind of, like, just adds fuel to that fire of, like...
Oh, 100%.
Literally all of
every person that Sam slept with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Quite the curse, that, boys.
I would just like to say... assuming that everyone's got their souls intact, it is obviously the person who is in a partnership. It's on them not to cheat on their partner. But also, if you know that somebody's in a committed relationship, don't sleep with them.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, like,
you can choose not to do that.
Yeah,
it's not your responsibility because it's not your relationship. But also, like, if you know that person's in a relationship, you can just find someone else.
Well, yeah, big world. lots of people who aren't in relationships, you don't need to contribute to someone cheating.
Yeah, you can choose not to do that.
You you can choose not to do that. If they really want to sleep with you, maybe they need to go and deal with their current relationship first. Maybe that makes you maybe that's the ethical thing to do in this scenario.
Yeah. Like, I hate when, like, the other women or, like, the other guy gets, like, fully blamed for the cheating, because obviously the person who cheated on their partner is a significant blame, but also, like, yeah, if you are that other person, you can choose not to.
Well, yeah, if you know someone's in a relationship and you participate in that, you're not cheating, but that does not make you a good person.
The actress who plays the sheriff's wife in this episode, Brenna, she used to be a recurring character on Heartland for, like, several seasons. She played Tim's girlfriend Janice, and that is all I see when I see her.
Yeah, I was not familiar with her.
Well, apparently Heartland and Supernatural were two of the 10 most streamed shows in 2023, so good for them.
Good for them, honestly. That's an impressive statistic.
Heartland's going into its, like, 16th or 17th season this year, and Supernatural. What? Yeah, it's the longest running Canadian show.
Did not know it was still running.
It is still running, and I still watch it. I've watched it since I was a kid.
To be as an American, I've never heard of this show before.
It's a Canadian show. It's on the Canadian channel CBC. It's the longest running Canadian primetime series. It's been on since I was, like, a kid.
Good shit.
I think I've watched since, like, season 3 was airing. I've seen the whole show many times.
Oh, I was gonna say, speaking of media as well, the title of this episode is also a reference to a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah, most likely, again, which is fun. Oh, I mean, it's also, there's also a Metallica song called The Unforgiven that also could be a reference to, but so either of those is kind of a fun possibility.
Yeah, I like both those options. They feel apt.
And even just using Unforgiven as just a word, thematically works really well.
I do love it when Supernatural has those episode titles that are just like, yes, this has several meanings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nothing will ever top The Vessel for me in season 13, 12, whatever season that is.
Yeah.
Wait, which one?
The Vessel.
Oh, it's about as good as that other one that's around that time, The Spear.
Sometimes a title is just a title. Sometimes
The Vessel is like a triple layer. Like,
it is. It is. The Vessel really is. One day we'll have to do a top 10 list of, like, episode
that's
titles.
That's on my list of discussion episodes.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. great. I would love to come on for that. I have feelings about why.
I would also not mind being on that episode.
Listen, I've got two TBD topics for season 5. I'm willing to throw that on the calendar right now.
Just do it real early. I guess it doesn't have to be non-spoilery.
Discussion episodes can be about whatever.
So that would be fun to do.
Listen, I'm going to throw it on the calendar for real.
Do it.
It's also, like, worth noting, like, the monster that they've never really heard of, like Samuel or Sam or Jean, like, it's not like werewolves running around this town. It's like this monster that nobody's heard of for, like, 2,000 years.
Yeah. And again, isn't also not a monster that will come back. Yeah. So this is lost canon. This is just something that they do once and then they leave.
And again, the implication at this end of this episode is that there are 9 or 10 other monsters like this running around thanks to these two incidents.
Just not gonna worry
other people possibly.
Yeah, we're just not gonna worry about it.
Not gonna worry about that again.
We're not gonna worry about this invasive species of spider people. But one last thing I'll say as well, I'm really curious of, like, when y'all first saw this episode, if you like how you reacted to the fact that the wall broke that fast.
Like, yeah,
you got one episode and he's shaking on the floor.
I think that I speed ran when I was watching the show.
Okay. Me too.
I don't remember my reaction. I do think watching it this time has reminded me how quick that turnaround is between he gets his soul back and it's pretty immediate. And I think that's always how it sticks in my mind, is that, like, they put up a wall and it's just the flimsiest. Like, it doesn't even take anything traumatic. Like, he doesn't really have any, like, significant trauma in this episode that breaks the wall. It's just remembering a random ass case. It's not like he gets hit on the head. It's
really
not, like,
good point.
Yeah. Like, it does not. This is a flimsy ass wall, which, like, Death did say. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree with everything that was just said. I forgot that it happened this early and that it was like, this is it. This is the wall breaking. Because, like, in my brain, like, that is not a thing that we're worrying about in this storyline. But I guess
it literally happens out of frame.
Yeah, it's always, I did kind of think of like why this particular moment, like why didn't they choose something a little more?
Why not in the aftermath of the fight? Why not
right
when Sam was remembering something specific? Like,
yeah, it's just like they're just having a conversation a couple of hours later in the motel room. Like, it's,
yeah, and it's not even, it's just like, oh wow, this case was crazy. Like, it's not like they're having some like deep conversation.
And it's also not like we've had any like real in this episode. Like, I think they could have added in some, like, almost some moments where he's almost slashing to hell, and we can tell that it's breaking before it actually breaks, but we just get it immediate, we just get it breaking in one swoop, basically, at the end, the last 30 seconds of this episode.
I feel like I'm gonna start doing this with, like, season 6 episodes, because I remember that was when I was in my peak, like...
And you're watching live.
I use Twitter for Supernatural rewatching. I just searched back using the advanced feature, and from February 11th, 2011, I was like, needed a 5-second break from this massive amount of homework. New Supernatural tonight since I have off work.
See, oh, this seems so to be a feature of the show now, is can get...
just of season 6, because I don't know.
Specifically remember watching season 6 and, like, actually, like, loving season 6, like, at the time. I just feel like, you know, if you go through it really fast, then only the good episodes stand out, like...
That is very true, I think season 6 is a little bit of a, like, the first watch of season 6 is a little bit of a blur to me. I remember my first watch of the Crypt Key era really strongly, and I remember when I started watching, like, live, which was around season 8, but there's some blurry stuff in the middle. The gambler is a little blurry. About your life
pre-Supernatural.
Yeah. I was a teenager.
Yeah, same.
And I'll be 30 soon, so that's fine. I think that brings us to the end of our episode discussion. So that takes us to our final portion of this episode, which is our character blessing. KJ, who would you like to bless this week?
I think it's pretty obvious who I would like to bless this week. I think in my entire history of queering things up here, I think I've only not blessed Sam one singular time.
Actually, I remember that one singular
time. He really needs it this week, though.
He does need it. So I'm giving it to Sam. All of my blessings and all of my love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a rough time, and we're very glad to have Sam.
It's a week where he does particularly need it, which is weeks I tend to be here, honestly.
That's probably why you put this in, honestly. Yeah. Elena, what about you?
So I would like to bless Brenna, because...
Valid.
She didn't do anything, and she had to, like, not only, like, lose her husband, but then had to, like, re-confront that and then see what he became, and then, like,
it killed her husband in front of her, and that's never great.
No.
And just the way that her, because, like, there's something about Supernatural where, like, even when they have, like, a tough case, they usually get, like, a moment or two to, like, debrief or say goodbye to the people from that town or that case that they've helped. And there was something so, like, so huge and visceral about her just slamming the door in his face, and mm-hmm. that's it.
After everything she's been through, I mean, she's gaslit. She ruined
her life. Like,
yeah. It's horrible.
Uber blessings for Brenna. I hope she's doing well.
Well, that works out really well, because I was going to bless Roy, her husband, who didn't deserve to be bait without his consent, who was on board to help the Winchesters and like help Samuel and Sam with this case, and just gets entirely screwed over and then killed again. And, you know, it just doesn't get any redemption. It's just a tragic ending, and I wanted to offer a blessing for that sort of storyline, because that's really always really rough to see. Like, I agree. Yeah. And I think we often do get a moment of, like, something, some sort of closure. And there isn't that with any of the victims in this episode.
Like, it makes sense for what happens in the episode, but it doesn't make it hurt any less, you know?
No.
I'm really sad, because when we cover this episode, it's going to be no death on the death count, because everybody is a monster. I regret my rules that I made.
Well, with those blessings, that will bring us to the end of this episode. Thank you, Elena and KJ, for being here, for all your wonderful insight.
Thank you for having me back. I know you guys always say I'm welcome back, but it is really nice to come back so often.
It's like having old friends in the house. You're like, yes, yeah. We're going to say it every time. The door's always open.
I adore getting to do the two of you. So this was a delight.
Yeah. KJ, where can the people find you on the internet if they want to find you?
Yeah, the people can find me anywhere that they find podcasts. They can find Supernatural Opinions. And then also I'm on TikTok at SPN Opinions KJ and Twitter. I'm at SPN Opinions Pod, at SPN Opinions Pod. And then I guess AO3 also is where you can find me, and I'm at Supernatural Opinions KJ, actually spelled out.
We will put all of those socials in the episode description.
They used to be aligned and somehow they're not aligned. And then also I'm like at Editing KJ on most things as well, like personally.
If you want to find any of that, you can find it in the episode description, or you can
links
look it up.
The doobly-doo. Yeah.
Oh. Or just back here, honestly. I'll be back here.
Yeah, you will. As well, we wanted to thank those of you who have filled out our Google survey, our Google audience survey.
You're
that
delightful.
Survey closed last week. We're really grateful for all those feedback and thoughts. Thank you for listening to the show. If you didn't do the survey, also thank you for listening to the show. We're really glad that all of you are here with us. Thank you.
So on that note, make sure that you are subscribed to Saving People Queering Things wherever you listen to podcasts, and share our show with your friends. You can also join our free Discord server, find links to socials, and catch up on the latest season mixtapes all at our website, queeringthingspodcast.com.
Also on this feed, we have some episodes that are Queering People Saving Those, which is all the people from Saving People Queering Things feed, all of your hosts plus me playing D&D every other Friday right here. So you don't have to do anything extra. Just stay where you're at.
I'm writing down queer saves throw people because that's my new favorite thing.
Bad lip reading. Be sure to ride along with us next week as we will be exploring season 6, episode 14, Mannequin 3, The Reckoning, through the theme of awareness.
Thank you all for coming along for the ride, and we wish you a peaceful road until we meet again.